About and again, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, where I taught for 34 years. Former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and student of Kawita philosophy created by Dr. Mylana Karanga since 1979. I just want to welcome all of you to the Black Conscious Corner, where we discuss actual facts about Black, where we do serious, serious deep thinking and courageous questioning about the situations and activities of Black people experiencing in the hells of North America. I'm on the panel this evening so far, and we may be joined with others, but right now we have Ernest McBride Jr., who is a historical archivist for his father's legacy in Long Beach, Ernest McBride Sr., who was responsible for the movement, the Black, who played a major role in the civil rights movement in Long Beach. And we want to thank him for his creation and his contribution to struggle, as well as starting the first NAACP, as well as the first Optimist Club in the city of Long Beach, where he's responsible for many job opening and integration of progress of Black people in Long Beach. And we also have Rashiki Mascani, who is responsible for this network video cast, whereas he is a former outstanding athlete at Cal State Long Beach, a graduate math teacher for the L.A. Compton Unified School District for many years. And as I said, is the host of the Community Education Network, that Zoomcast that is on every Wednesday, as well as other Zoomcasts that he has regarding reggae and health issues that we may find ourselves. We also have joining us out of Detroit is Brother Ahi. Brother Ahi is a longtime activist, and he keeps us abreast of what's going on the East Coast, and especially in the Detroit area, one of the meccas of the Black movement, where many of the Black outstanding politicians and leaders, as well as the entertainment capital of our Black community, Motown, in Detroit. We want to start off by saying welcome. You find yourself in a peaceful place. And we wish all of you that may be listening blessings without numbers, all good things without end. We're going to discuss a number of issues tonight. We're going to start off with the 250-year celebration of America. And I want to see what each of our panelists think about it and how they see it and how what they thought about all the flag waving and all the firecrackers and all the big tents and all the parades and things of that nature celebrating the birth of the Declaration of Independence. We're going to start with our brother Ernest McBride. Ernest, what did you think about the celebrations? Did you get a chance to see any of them on TV? Did you participate? And, you know, one of the oldest groups, the oldest civil rights group is the NAACP, which your father was responsible for starting the one helped starting the one in Long Beach. But go ahead, Ernest.
Yeah, we didn't do any celebrating because usually my neighbors, because on my block, I got about maybe four Black neighbors and two Filipino families, and then Cambodians live across street, and then some Japanese live next to them. And then also next to, on my side of the street. And the last couple of years, they used to do a lot of fireworks. The Filipinos, like 2 doors down north of me, but they didn't do any celebrating. And then we just kind of watched it, on TV, because I got tired of, because my wife loved to do, she's not good at great health, but she loves to watch the game shows and, like Family Feud and stuff like that. So we mostly watch that and, reruns of that. And then right at the end, my daughter was telling me, well, they got a, the fireworks celebration, because I call my sisters and brothers, call them every week. And I was talking to her, and she was telling me how great that Macy fireworks display was. And so and they repeated it, so I had a chance to watch that. So, but what I got a lot of out of it, they gave a lot of historical facts, about the blacks, because they went over the Dred Scott case, and this is stuff that we learned, way back, and kind of forgotten about it. And then that kind of brought memories of that, where they kind of, because my granddaughter and them, this is the first they're hearing of it, and they probably learned a little bit of it in high school, that much, because they're so busy trying to destroy our history. But a lot of programs came on, and even in the newspaper, they had a lot about the different Supreme Court decisions and stuff like that. So that, brought to light about that. So other than that, I didn't, as far as celebrating, I didn't really do any celebrating other than what I watched on TV.
All right, that's good. Brother He, Detroit.
Yes, sir,
What
Professor
do
Rock.
you think about the 250 years of celebrating the Declaration of Independence?
Well, I know it didn't pertain to us, so it just, I didn't get a big bang out of it. I guess I approached it just like our forefathers did. It was a day off, and sit back and relax, outside of that, of course, my neighbors, they're Spanish-speaking people over here, and they was just exploding. They tried to blow the world up. So, I mean, we were all up past midnight with these people blowing this stuff up. So I don't know what they were celebrating. Maybe just being here in America, half of them can't speak English. So they got here, the Colombians and a few Puerto Ricans and some Mexicans, and that came from impoverished situations. Seemed to be doing much better financially, economically, with their money here. But as far as the celebration, I mean, what are we celebrating? Douglas says, the what is Independence Day for the slave? Professor, I think I put a chicken on the grill. I did put a chicken on the grill. So my son and I, we grilled the chicken, and that would be about the extent of it.
And snap some sauce on it, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah, we had to
All
have put some sauce on it now.
right,
Some sauce on
I know you
it.
did. You took the feathers off. Yeah,
Yeah,
all
old school. Cut the neck and
right.
bleed it, and then and bore those feathers off.
All
All
right, then. Good.
right.
What about you, Rashi?
Well, celebrate. I think I'm gonna be down with Neely for the junior. He said don't celebrate, he said educate. It's so much I could say about, the participation in celebrating holidays in a country that did all they did and continue to do all that they do. And it's not for the benefit of all people. So I can't collaborate with the oppressor's force in their celebrations of hypocrisy. So I spent the whole day alone, had me a bunch of food, and watched me some African movies. So that's sort of what I did. I'm not into celebrating holidays. I have a paper on the website that talks about the holidays. I encourage people to look at it and check it out, read it, you know, to incite a little thought behind these what late brother Kamal, Dr. Kamal Kamban, horror days. So, you know, I'm not all gang ho about any of that. So
but many of our people did celebrate. Many of
our Well, when you're programmed or you rationalize things that's not beneficial to you, you know, that's a form of menticide, I would say. But you know, it's people have their own understandings, and from what I've learned throughout the years is that you don't collaborate with your oppressor. In our book coming up, Professor Amin-Ra has a you know, an article about that. So I mean, to each his own. I'm but not down with it. And the people that are of our ethnicity, maybe they're trying to escape from the ills of society. So
it is
what it is.
But you made the point of menticide. Bobby Wright came up with that. And when you say that, what do you mean?
I'm saying that anytime you join forces with a system that is against you, you're worse than the system that oppresses you. And that's a form of mental deprivation. You actually think what Joe said, the illusion of inclusion, you actually think that these owners, these people really care about you. You're nothing but a commodity in their eyes. So that's a form of being against yourself. What does it do for you other than make you not want to be like yourself? What does it do to you? You're going out of your way to be like something that don't like you. It's not mentally sane. It's insane. But you know, you're taught that. You're being programmed to think that this is okay when it's not. This society is not okay.
Yeah. But you know, many of our parents bought us fireworks when we were young. Many of our parents bought barbecue and stuff. So but they didn't know what we know. You know, as far as us going to college and learning about our history and our culture, many of us don't. Some parents knew. Maybe Ernest McBride knew more than what we knew. But most of the contributions of programming us is being programmed by other Black people that we admire and love. Our churches celebrated the 250 years of Americanism, and they see themselves as Americans. And you can't be upset at them, even if you label them as victims of menticide, because, you know, they know not what they doeth, as the Bible say. They're just doing what they see white people do or what they were programmed to. Like when we went to school, we were forced and required to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, we pledged allegiance to the same system, as you pointed out, that was in contradiction to our history. But we pledged allegiance to America, who is responsible for our genocide, our Holocaust of enslavement, and the genocide of the Native American in the formation of this country. But our parents, who did not have the liberational education that we had in consciousness, or chose not to practice it, because many of them went to the service and many of them volunteered, and they thought that was the way. The more American they became, the more they may not have faced oppression. So they just wanted to get the best out of they could. That's the way they fought, nonviolently, under the auspices of, maybe I won't get totally accepted, but at least I can keep some of the pressure off me and off of my family. Are you following me on that? You understand? So, you know, we can't get mad at our parents or upset because they bought us safe and sane fireworks. And maybe some of us may have participated in that activity with our kids before we got conscious, or participated in celebrations prior to our consciousness. You know, went to parties, like they had a party out here in Compton. Two people got shot and killed. One of them worked for Mike Gibson from the while I met him, Eric Washington, and a young lady who was a nurse. They was at a party. There was a young kid that went to Long Beach. Say, what's his football player name, Ron? Say, he got drafted by San Diego. He was at a Halloween party, and when it was shooting, and he got shot, but he was having a Halloween party for his kids rather than taking them trick-or-treating. People shot over the fence, and he tried to shield his sister, and he got shot. Those things happen. You understand? I mean, we realize that some of our people, before they get conscious, do participate in Americanism. That's what oppression will do, because oppression is not about individuals. It's about group oppression, you know, oppression of us as a group. And so I have many of our people participating in activities that we wouldn't now don't. But at the same time, we have to respect the fact that some of our people do participate in it. And even to this day, some of them that know better still participate. And, you know, you had many black people that's in the army, they were celebrating. You have many in the armed forces. You have many black people that are part of various institutions of America, putting on program teachers, putting up things in the classroom that they were required or that they thought they should put up, symbolizing them for the kids, saying about how great America is and over 250 years of democracy and its growth and what a great America, how great America is. That happens. I remember in junior high school, we got all of that, you know, and I had to learn the Star Spangled Banner. I had to learn the Pledge of Allegiance. These were black teachers we had. I was in school that had us doing those things also. But now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done it, but they could have talked to us about it in some settings if they really knew what was going on. But the point is that they participated in it. Let me just say that America's celebrating 250 years of Declaration of Independence. When that declaration was signed and penned, we were still enslaved. In fact, while they were writing it, there were slaves in the room while they were writing it, but they were not included in All Men Are Created Equal, because it excluded Native Americans, women, and especially those that they had enslaved. It was only for white men. When they say all men was created equal, the only reason it has expanded has been through relentless struggle. Struggle to make the words mean more than white men. Are you following me? Property owners too. Poor white people may not even been included. You understand? Because in the beginning of his voting, only people with property could vote. As they said, immigrants came and they didn't have their property yet, so they didn't participate. But you had to be a property owner. And then the same. Well, anyway, that's it. In the United States, when they formed the United States, in the colonies, remember there's two eras of the Holocaust of enslavement. One with the colonies and the other with the United States. And so when we start talking about the Declaration of hey, turn it down, idea. When you talk about the 250 years, they're talking about when they declared the United States, the Declaration of Independence. Okay, now let me just say this. That's when they start there, but our actual struggle and recognition goes back further. Because we've been in relentless struggle for 407 years since 1619, when the first African people were enslaved. They came as indentured servants at first, and then Virginia changed the laws and made it shackle slavery. But the point is that we're recognizing 407 years of being in America, and our relentless struggle and movement toward liberation against oppression, and we're celebrating the achievements we made and contributions we made while we were enslaved, and things of that nature. Even though Europeans took a lot of our inventions and a lot of our where they definitely benefited from our labor and our ways of making things happen for the betterment of ourselves, but it also bettered America. But let me just say this about the 4th of July. First of all, on its face, it's a contradiction. The first thing you teach children is don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. But that's all they do on the 4th of July. It's play with fire. They call it fireworks. They used to buy sparklers, but now they got all kind of like he said. Some people start celebrating or blowing up or setting off cherry bombs and F-40 bombs or whatever they got way before the 4th of July. But the point is that you tell your children, do not play with fire. Why? Houses burn up, you mess around and you can blow yourself up. You understand? And so, but people do it. Now, that's a contradiction. That is a contradiction. You tell your kids don't play with fire. Yeah. Second, you're burning up money. You say money is very important. You go, like I hear them say, these people spend thousands of dollars. I'm not talking about the ones that have, not the parks and the coliseums. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm talking about just parents and people in their neighborhoods spend thousands of dollars. And just and that when every time they light a firecracker, or light a sparklet, or light something that's gonna shoot up in the air, that's money. They're burning money. You can say somebody bought it. Somebody spent some money for it. And you tell people you don't burn money. Money is supposed to be very sacred. Something that you save and use for meaningful exchange. People burning up rent money, grocery money, utility bills money. But they don't see it like that. They say, I'm celebrating. I got the opportunity to celebrate. Now, then you have a big feast. And everything the doctor tell you not to eat, you eat. Everything generally with barbecue sauce means blood pressure sauce. That's all that is. You understand? And then, you know, people get sick. People go, I mean, it just be, they be out there in the streets drinking. And I mean, they have special police out giving tickets for people drunk. And they have special drones now looking for people setting off what they call illegal fireworks. You understand? Which they never catch the people. I just want you to see the contradictions. But people do it because Americans do it. And they've been doing it. Even though they'll tell you it's safe and sane fireworks. Many nonprofit groups sell fireworks in cities that allow it to make money for Pop Warner or football, to make money for their nonprofits. You have to be a nonprofit to get a license and be approved by the city to sell fireworks in that city. You see? Then there are cities that say, you can't use fireworks in our city, but they'd be the ones with most of the fireworks, because when you tell people don't do it, it's like the forbidden fruit. That means they gonna do it just to get away with it. And you see, I mean, just the contradictions that you can see. But most people, most European holidays are contradictions. Halloween.
It's a payday for industries.
Yeah.
If you're a producer, you're doing these seasonal times, you're making a tremendous amount of money, especially if you have a product that everybody likes. It could be a quick get rich scheme if you have the product.
Yeah, and that's what they got Jim Wilson for, the city councilman in Long Beach. Yeah. It was the fireworks company that and he went and got something done to his fence, and they gave him a case. Just they wanted to get rid of him anyway. He was the first black city councilman, and they wanted to do it anyway. But I'm just telling you, you're right, it's an industry. A multi-trillion dollar industry. I want you to understand that. But the whole country does it. They be bragging about Watchtown 2, Watchtown 7. We're going to have the biggest fireworks. We're going to be at the Pasadena Rose Bowl. We're going to be at the Coliseum. After the Dodger game, we got a fireworks show. Come there. Don't set off your own fireworks. Come. Pay to get in where we having it. And in some parks, they used to have bonfire. I mean, it's just been, I just want you to understand. That's the first contradiction. How you celebrate? Now, what do you celebrate? Democracy? Freedom? See, when they say birthrights, when you're born in America, you become American. That means you're going to be a taxpayer for a long time. That's all it is, revenue. They make you think, oh, it's a privilege to be an American. Wow, you're in a freedom. Now, you're going to fight in our army if we need you. You're going to entertain us. You'll be a sex object, but you're going to pay taxes and bills. Because you're going to need food, and that's called various forms of taxes on that. Then you got to pay income taxes. I mean, they take them. I want you to understand how the country sees you. So you be saying, oh, I'm an American citizen. That just means you're a taxpaying person. Because, I mean, that's all it is. And not getting the results of freedom from that taxation. You see? I mean, you discriminated against when they were at black communities. They were segregated. They didn't see you as an American. They saw you as a black community. Now, you still have to pay for your taxes and do everything the other people, but you have to stay in that little area where you grew up in. There's people in New York, and he travels a lot, and in Baltimore, they never leave their blocks. They grew up in their neighborhood. You understand? I mean, you'd be surprised at the people, what they call their hood, which they're supposed to protect. That's what a hood means. But getting back to it. So the second contradiction is America, democracy, as Malcolm and Frederick Douglass said, is nothing but a hypocrisy. You asked, as Frederick Douglass said, you asked me to celebrate. This was at the time that he was, he had got his freedom, but there were still black people enslaved. He said, you asked us to celebrate this, and my brothers and sisters are enslaved? What kind of, this is not our celebration, this is yours. This is what you do. Well, our people are still in chains and subject to cruelty and abuse and looked at as objects, not human beings. That's what Frederick Douglass was saying. So we have to look at that. How many teachers you know will have our kids read Frederick Douglass or discuss Frederick Douglass' speech? 4th of July speech in class when we was coming up. Any of your teachers ever do that? You see? Even though they may have knew about it. But they didn't want to lose their jobs. You understand?
Right.
And they didn't want to take away from the celebration on the campus. And as you said, Roger Keith's a day off, as he said. And, ain't nothing wrong with taking the day off. Anybody can take a day off. But know what's going on. So the hypocrisy is that this country, even up to today, They want to celebrate 250 years, but we have 400 years of struggle to force this country to get the various human rights progress that we have made. It wasn't because they became moral or ethical, or say, oh, we're going to be include y'all, and we sorry for what we did, and we'd like to make y'all American citizen. Trump already trying to take away birthrights, marriage. If you marry an immigrant, he's trying to take that away. He's trying to take away your immigration here and your right to pursue citizenship. They're trying to determine who can be an American. And here they are blocking all ethnic groups and racial minority racial groups, but recruiting white nationalist groups from South Africa and other European nations. Today, they marched, white nationalists marched in Washington. Mm-hmm. You see, on the same day, they were celebrating, saying they're not going to take our country. That's what they were saying, and they marched. They're not going to take away, take it. Now, I'm not saying they represent the thinking of all the people here, but they got institutions that represent that. See, there's a difference between prejudice and racism. Prejudice, I don't like it. Racism governs your life and the distribution of life-giving and life-saving goods and services and the administration of justice based upon race. You see, white man can shoot you and he say, we got a law, stand your ground, or justifiable homicide, or self-defense. Black person shoots you, manslaughter, second-degree murder, first-degree murder. You see the difference? You understand? Contradiction.
Yeah.
Put the Native American on reservation. To this day, they have Indian reservations. People go shop there because they don't pay taxes. You understand? You find a lot of them back east. And you find a lot of them up north. Indian reservation.
Yeah.
Blow your mind. Right there in Saginaw, Michigan. He know about it. Native American. You understand? Even though Colorado, Seattle, Oklahoma. All of them are named after Indian chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Oh, man, it's deep. The contradictions are deep. So while we've been taught to celebrate their 250 years of continued hypocrisy and contradiction, we're not taught to celebrate our 400 years of achievement, of liberalizing, getting this country to be more liberal and expand its rights. Because without our struggle, there would not have been a women's struggle. Oh yeah, this struggle came after ours. Everybody's struggle came after ours. You understand? Yourself. So our history is based upon our struggle and our continuous struggle, you see. But most people don't struggle because they're not taught and things. It's just like you ask why men don't get married or women are not married. They're not trained and taught that that's a value. You understand? And they make it look like it's so problematic that people say, I'd rather live by myself. I can do bad by myself. You understand? Yes, and not realizing the value of relationships. I mean, you got a bad relationship. You can't say I ain't gonna never love again. I mean, that only makes sense. I don't want to live with nobody again because I had a bad experience.
You meet
them. You know, I mean, you can. That's your right. But at the same time, it don't make sense in a system where it's two incomes are better than one. And when you get older, you need somebody to bring you a drink of water. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the second thing that America to this day have not lived up to its advocacy. In this Declaration of Independence and in this Constitution. They change the Constitution all the time. Reinterpret it and have a Supreme Court that throughout our history, from the Dred Scott decision to the various decisions, they had the Supreme Court when we was enslaved. They had the Supreme Court. You know, you can't rely on the court system, even though we forced the court system to rule in our favor. But the court can't make them implement it. Let me give you an example. The school desegregation. Brown versus the Board of Education. Schools are still segregated. When we'd gone to Centennial High School, when I was there, it was majority Black. Now it's majority Latino. You don't see no white kids up at Centennial. Very true if you see any. See white teachers. They're getting a check. White administrators, but there ain't no white, because we don't live in the same neighborhoods. White people would rather move in San Diego by the San Onofre nuclear plant than live with Black people. Go up San Diego and you'll see them all on the hill across from the San Onofre nuclear plant. That's how deep they are. And then some Negroes that follow.
Yep, because they white.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Professor?
Yes, go ahead.
At the parallel between the 60s and the 2020s, as far as the change in the Constitution concerning, say, Jim Crow and also voting. From my understanding with this latest change in the Constitution, not the one with the gerrymandering, but the one where owners can refuse service to people based on how you look. It's the trick, just ridiculous. Oh. But that seems to me that we're back now into the 60s, like a Jim Crow where no Blacks allowed, legally.
When you say that, give us an example. I know there's some states like that.
Texas.
Yeah.
Just some information I heard about the change of the Constitution. And this isn't 14. I know that they're going after 14. It's 13, 14, and 15, correct?
Yeah.
Has to do with us.
Yeah.
14 has to do with the birthing. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the birthright for Black people, and it also dealt with us participation in citizenship and some other.
Right. If you're not born here, even if you're born here, they can say you're not a citizen. Just because you're born here, don't make you a citizen.
Yeah, but we had to struggle for that. They didn't give us that.
No, they didn't struggle for everything. That.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, it seems like the 2000s are a reflection of the 60s.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm
saying. It's like all the changes that our ancestors bled and died for, and sacrificed livelihoods, we lost.
Did we ever have
under a year?
Yeah, but did we ever have, or did they give you the illusions you had?
Well, it's all an illusion, depending on where you live, because they're not going to give you. You know, they're not going to. I mean, you know, they weren't talking about us in the first place. That's the first thing. They were never talking about us. And the forefathers, and dig this, the forefathers, Donald Trump is much more progressive and liberal than the forefathers were. You know, they didn't have us in mind when they were talking about, like you said, that enslaved people were in the room when they were penning it. So stop lying and saying that it applies to all of us, because it doesn't.
Yeah, but the struggle was to get rid of the oppression and the exploitation. Let me give you an example. This World Cup, Trump said he called to help get the Black athlete eligible to play. But that Black athlete has three citizenships. He had one in Africa, one in Europe, and one in the United States. His parents were Yoruba Nigerians, of the Yoruba faith in Nigeria. He had birthrights, and Trump was fighting for him after he tried to get rid of birthrights. See the contradiction.
Yeah.
The reason why there's contradictions is they're going against nature.
Since symbolism of it's representing an international thing. He wanted to look good in America. He wanted the American team to win at all costs.
White folks say they hate Black, but their favorite color is Black. That's all they got, Black clothes. You understand? That's what the woman said. She wants somebody tall, dark, and handsome.
They sick. They hate you, but they want you to represent them. You know,
animals come in different colors. You go get a Black dog, but you don't want to be around Black human beings. That don't even make sense. But that's how they think. These are people that hate Black so much they sleep with their lights on. You got something like that. That's not the issue. The issue is that nature made the variety the spice of life. These people want to be superior and only see you for sex, military, taxes, entertainment. Do you understand? That's what you see the people going to the football games and all that, buying season tickets. and it'd be the majority of the people playing are Black in the Super Bowl. Yeah. But the majority of the season tickets are white.
Right.
1,000. They entertain. And they love violent sports. All the sports symbolize violence.
Baseball,
you got a bat. Football is a collision sport. You're knocking the hell out of each other. Basketball is a contact sport. It's like sumo wrestling now.
Yeah.
You understand? They let you hold. They change
you. You have to
make it more exciting. Hockey, you got to fight. They don't even want to go to a hockey game in this fight. Tennis, you got a racket and you're knocking the hell out of a ball. You got a club, you're
not violent.
All of them are about violence. And they enjoy it. You see,
they take the tell the referees in hockey, let them fight, you know, because they got on all that equipment. They ain't going to hurt each other. So let them scuffle a little bit and then go and break it up later, you know.
Hey, get out the way.
Our kids is watching this. And you're telling the kids, don't do that.
And they're killing each other. It's the only time the Republicans and the Democrats can even agree on something is when they got a war and they're talking about getting some money together to bomb somebody.
Yeah.
Then everybody's in on that.
It's about their nature, man. Their nature is the rule for self-preservation, as Arashi Keith said. Francis Cresswell, St. Neil Fuller. It's about genetic annihilation. See, black is not a color. It's the essence of all colors.
All colors
come from black. Two white people cannot produce a black child, but two black people can have an albino.
Yes, they can.
You see? So you see, people don't even see that. I don't understand. But the issue is the contradiction that you pointed out, Brother Ahi. It's never been. See, we can't lose what we never had. The illusion of giving it to you.
Right.
And letting some individuals be successful. And you make it well, you have a black president, so you can't say there's no racism. Then they you know,
it's no racist, and he's shaking up in up on the podium, afraid to say anything about the murdering of little black boys by civil servants, and he's shaking like Elvis, afraid to say something. But he's the president.
But people forget, we voted for him. Women voted for him. Well,
we didn't hold him accountable.
It was a Democratic president. Not a black president. He represented the Democratic Party as a black man, So he represented what? Their interests.
You got to do the party's bidding.
He was responsible for the assassination of Gaddafi, bin Laden.
Yeah.
He's a conservative guy.
Wait a minute. He gave Israel all kind of money and bombs.
He's a real conservative guy.
He's not conservative. He's doing what he was told.
Yeah.
You understand? The illusion is that we're making progress because we had a black president.
Well, we embrace him as one of our own. I mean, his forefathers weren't enslaved here in America, but we embraced him as one of our own because he was black. And we thought it would not only be a symbolic, something symbolic of some type of progress, that maybe he would come in and do something with the legislative, but we were so caught up, and he's so cool, and he's so this and so that, that we did not hold him accountable. And so it was business as usual for the president.
Well,
we were the ones that made the difference about him getting in office.
Yeah, first of all, let me say this to you. You have to understand that he did the best he could. He made people happy. Black people were happy that he was president. Many of them were joyful, and they're still joyful. He's still the most popular president that they ever had in history, as far as that, from a symbolic standpoint. He gave out a lot of awards to black people, and you know, he invited them up to the White House lawn for hors d'oeuvres, and he opened up doors for a lot of other black people. He appointed black people to key positions. He did what he could. But this country has institutions that have guardrails where you can't go. He couldn't give Garvey a pardon. But Trump can pardon the people that attacked the Capitol. 200, and talking about giving pardons to 250 more people. Maybe 2,000, 2,500. I mean, these are people that Which I'm talking about killing his own vice president. Hang on, man. These are people that burned up. I mean, just tore up the Capitol. Was one to kill Congress people, and he gave them all pardons.
Then they got this fund getting up to so they can any kind of legal stuff they're running through. He'll pay for that.
Yeah,
yeah, no. They, and what they should line them up and shot their ass because they
were already found
them criminals, you know.
And they're
traitors. They attacked our government and they were traitors and they're guilty and they should have shot their ass.
Well, and we're trying to pay them with a $1.8 billion that he sued his own administration for releasing his doggone taxes. But what about the rest of the people whose taxes and stuff they released?
They're already paying them. The girl that got shot, they gave her mother, her parents, the millions of dollars.
30 million, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other a couple of people filed suits, and they settle. They don't go to court. They settle. You understand? I mean, that's what they would do. That's what, how they're getting around. Like, just
money grab.
Because he tried to appeal it, and the Supreme Court threw it out. Said, no, and you gonna pay.
He even tried to sue. It was the whole government. Yeah, he's the government. He got and the Department of Justice settled with him and give him a check. But anyway, brother said, we're going to continue this. Roger Key, what's happening tomorrow?
We got Brother Muko coming back, and he's bringing on a few people. They're going to be talking about spirituality. So that's interesting.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Give us some peace of mind.
And I want y'all to pay attention to it. You know, we had 9 African countries in the World Cup.
Football. It's changing. It's flipped. Did you see America flip too? America, England flipped. They were playing these games, wouldn't let the brothers in. But you saw this year, more than half of the team was brothers. And they all went past, got further than they done ever been.
Yeah, they in the mix now, boy.
Yeah, they in the mix, but the white folks ain't happy. They not happy about it.
No.
The women should help pacify them, shoot.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you. One country, Cape Verde, was small.
Oh, yeah, they kicked some butt.
Just a million.
Oh, they were so close.
They just barely lost. And I'm just telling you, 9 African countries. And that's not counting when we get into the Olympics. So anyway, we're going to keep on pushing. That's the struggle.
I'm like Rasha Key, like when Garvey said, free ourselves from mental slavery because none but ourselves can free our minds.
Yeah.
And Bob wrote about it, you know.
Well,
yeah, like some and people, Funkadelic say, free your mind and your ass will follow.
Yeah, like we say, wherever your ass is, your mind took it there.
Before we go, let me share something with everybody before we go.
What's that?
Because Ross said, keep on struggling. We got to use all vehicles. Check this out, everybody. Check it out. I gotta pull it up. Give me a second here. Here it is. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Okay, let me see something here. Here we go. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Here we go. You see that?
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah, that's music. We got music on here now. We got our own music.
Okay.
I released 4 albums, and then we have Brother Uweze released his album. This is it says Biblical and Prophetic Roots Reggae by Exodus Committee that speak to today's time and season. So that's Brother Uweze. And then if you click on the music page, Here we go. All the albums are listed. So I got four albums up there, and then Brother Weezy's is going to be on this page too.
Man, put my song up there.
Okay, we'll get it up there, Professor Rye. I got to put it. I got to get a you know a title and all that. I get it up there, Rye.
All right, everybody. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
All right. So you're going public with your songs, Rob.
All right.
Everybody, continue to have a great evening.
All right. Take care.
You try not.